Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Well, it's good to be here this evening. Good to see friends, people I haven't seen for a while, and some longer than others. Some of you don't know me. Who doesn't know me? Oh, good. Okay. No. We're from Bancroft. My wife would have loved to have been here, but I came home from work. We work down at the R.J. Brooks Center in Bancroft, managing that now. And I came home, and she was all ready to come with me, but she got a migraine. And when she gets a migraine, it lays her right out. And so, unfortunately, so she wished she'd been here with us. Just a bit here, I just want to let you know who we've been ministering, as our brother said, out west. We've ministered with the old Shantyman ministry many years ago in Native camps. And then recently we were with Youth for Christ out in Manitoba at one of their camps there as well, before coming back to Bancroft a couple of years ago. And so I speak at churches and around, and particularly at Coe Hill. Pray for the work there at Coe Hill. There's a little chapel, as you may well know there, and you know, it's struggling and it needs help. It's the only evangelical outreach in that community of Coe Hill, and we do covet your prayers there. I always like to just pray and commit God's word in prayer. I know we've been praying, but let's just commit it to you now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that it has, Lord. It is your word, the very breath of God. And Lord, we pray that as we look into it tonight, that you will guide us by your Holy Spirit, that all will be said and done to glorify your name and your name only. Amen. At Coe Hill, I go over time, but I'll try not tonight. I'm tempted to take the battery out of the clock up there on the wall in Coe Hill when I speak there. But this is not what I'm going to speak on tonight, but it is and it isn't. But I want to this is a story that you may have heard before, but it bears repeating. Because it's very, very interesting. I'm a strong believer in biblical truths. I'm a strong believer in theology. Now, that's a bad word some places, but I'm a strong believer in doctrinal theology, knowing God's word and what it states. And this is about a true story, but it has a biblical sense to it. It's called The Great Blondin. But the point being is we need, as I say, biblical truths in the Lord Jesus Christ. A true saving faith involves the intellect, it involves the emotions, and it involves the will. And the point is that the faith saves us, involves all that we have in coming to Christ. See, faith equals knowledge, it equals plus conviction plus commitment. The faith that saves us, as I say, faith starts with knowledge, a way to be saved, God's word. People have to hear the gospel, have to hear God's word to be saved. That's the starting process. Then it moves to conviction. The person says, I got to be saved. And then it ends with commitment, I'm in it all the way. And see, so faith equals knowledge plus conviction plus commitment. So what's the story of the great Blondin have to do with that? Well, it goes like this. In the 19th century, the greatest tightrope walker in the world was a man named Charles Blondin. On June 30th, 1859, he became the first man in history to walk on a tightrope across Niagara Falls. Over 25,000 people gathered to watch him. Walked 1,100 feet, suspended on a tiny rope 160 feet above the raging waters. He worked without a net or safety harness of any kind. The slightest slip would prove fatal. When he reached the Canadian side, the crowd burst into a mighty roar. In the days that followed, he would walk across the falls many times. Once he walked across on stilts. Another time he took a chair and a stove with him and sat down midway across, cooked an omelet and ate it. Once he carried his manager across riding piggyback, and once he pushed a wheelbarrow across loaded with 350 pounds of cement. On one occasion, he asked the cheering spectators if they thought he could push a man across sitting in a wheelbarrow. A mighty roar of approval rose from the crowd. Spying a man cheering loudly, he asked, "Sir, do you think I could safely carry you across in this wheelbarrow?" "Yes, of course." "Get in," the great Blodden replied with a smile, and the man refused. That makes it clear, doesn't it? It's one thing to believe a man can cross by himself. It's another thing to believe that he could safely carry you across, but it's something else entirely to get into the wheelbarrow yourself. And that's the difference between knowledge, conviction, and commitment. And see, I thought that was an interesting true story that highlights what really commitment is when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We get into that wheelbarrow, and we have the Lord push us across. And so people have lots of head knowledge. They have lots of, yes, it sounds really good, but it comes right down to receiving Christ as their Savior and putting their whole life and hand in His hands. And that's what we do when we receive and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good story. I like to tell it wherever I go. Today, like no other time, I think, in history, so many people throughout the world are trying to find ways to make themselves happy. I used to be in retail business. Years ago, I owned businesses, and before getting into ministry. And I saw that. That's what proliferated malls and shopping malls and all sorts of stuff. People are out trying to find things to make themselves happy. Contented, if you can say that. So much of what we do in a society is based on that. Unfortunately, for example, many people work at jobs that they hate or are not suited for in order to afford what they think is necessary to make themselves happy, the toys of the world. This desire to obtain happiness is one of the main reasons for the dramatic increases we see in drugs, but especially lotteries. Now, it's the drug of the masses, and it's the drug of governments. Because it's out there. I'm going to make myself happy by winning the lottery. Yes, there are so many unhappy and fearful people in this world, so it's very, very refreshing when we meet or know someone who has a truly happy or blessed character. Someone who is contented in all matters of life. For the born-again believer, which I believe all are here, this should be what we should exhibit every day. Not just specifically on a special day or certainly, but it's an inward part of us. It's very hard sometimes, and I know, to exhibit this contented or blessed character that we should as believers have. So how can you tell what the characteristics of a truly happy or blessed individual are? Not just some big grin on a person's face, not just a sort of a contentment in certain circumstances that come along, because even the unsaved will have that on occasions. But this is a deep, heartfelt contentment within the very soul when we face each morning. First, you and I have to realize that happy or contented, as the world defines it, is not the same as what God defines it. See, the world defines blessed or happy as man-centered. Naturally, everything is centered around me or man. What makes me contented? What can I gain to make my physical life more comfortable? And when things don't line up like that, people become very dissatisfied. And this is what leads to so much problems in the world. The Bible shows us that the word blessed is used in two different ways. Giving praise to God, and declaring blessedness, supreme, eternal happiness to man. See, blessedness is giving praise to God and helping our fellow man, our being blessing to our fellow man. Contrary to what the world sees. So with that in mind, I say again, what sets apart a truly soul-inspiring, blessed man or woman from the masses of humanity? Well, this evening, we're going to take a look at some of the characteristics of such an individual. And when I was writing this and researching and looking at it, I must confess I fell short on a number of these characteristics. But it's not to say, and I'm sure each one, because we're not perfect, but it's to know what God expects from us to be an example to those around us, and especially to give God the glory, and then to work at it. Our faith is something we need to work at. We don't work at being saved. We work at being a blessing to others and to serve the Lord. The book of Psalms will be our main focus. Actually, Psalms 119. So we're going to turn first to Psalms 15. Now, Psalms 15. It's just a short one. I love Psalms 15. We'll just look there for tonight. And then we're going to go over to 119. Now, we're not going to read the whole thing because it's a lot. As you well know, it's a very big book, chapter in the Bible. But Psalms 15 states, very interesting, Psalms 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacles? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eye a vile person is contaminated, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. He that putteth not his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. And we'll go into that in a few minutes. And then we just go over to the big chapter, Psalms 119. I'm just going to read a few verses in between. 1-8, first few verses. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Then we're just going to go over to 163, verse 163, and just read through to 172. 163 to 172. I hate and adore lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Give peace, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. Before we get in actually the characteristics of a blessed man, I just want to just take a side. You know, the Psalms 119, and I'm sure others have spoke on this, and you could do it for years, but it is a marvelous, marvelous chapter in the Bible. It has so many different subjects that are so important for you and I in how to live a victorious and truly meaningful life, a life that will count for something eternal other than obtaining a bunch of stuff and having an uneventful, unmeaningful life. And so just in the highlights, in Psalms 119, we see ways to walk before an almighty and holy God. There's ways to how to walk before God. Facts about seeking God, the Lord, Jehovah. Secrets of obtaining victory over sin in our life. I've met believers, and I know if we're honest with ourselves, we've had difficulties sometimes dealing with a sin in our life, a habit that's not pleasing unto the Lord. Well, we read here, it'll show us how to have victory in our lives. things to do in life with our whole heart, which gives true purpose for meaning, for living. So many people say, well, why do I, like, what's the purpose of life? Well, look in Psalms 119. Beautiful. Purposes for living. A description of a wicked man or woman. Statements about distress. How to deal with distress. Sources of comfort, which are so needful in our lives. Sources of comfort. Also, there's a description of the Word of God. I love this. There's descriptions about the Word of God. I'm going to sidetrack here for a second. I really, really, really believe we need to stress the Word of God. So many ways are being presented about what's true and what's not true and everything in the world. And there's different ways of looking at who God is and everything. God's Word has stood the test of time. This is the foundation on which we build our faith. And it cannot, it's solo Scripture. Scripture alone, not other things added to Scripture. I'm doing a series on Colossians in Coal Hill, and that was the problem with the Colossians. It's called the Colossian heresy. They were adding other things to how to please God, and it wasn't centered on the Scriptures. And so the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. Things in life to hate and avoid if we want to have a truly blessed life. What to do and what not to do if we want to have a blessed life. And especially the characteristics of a blessed man or woman. The dictionary states that the character of a person is the qualities making up an individual. The moral qualities. The reputation of possessing them. It's interesting to note, the reason I read Psalms 15, the first small Psalms, it is often, in Jewish funeral services and rituals, it's a type of eulogy. When they have a funeral, they'll read Psalms 15. They'll read Psalms 15. It expresses the ideal human qualities to the Jewish person that ensure the deceased a place in the life after. But we know as believers that that's only through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that we are ensured everlasting life in the arms of Christ. But it's interesting to note and to see the importance godly character of a blessed person had to the Jewish people. They could see in this what the characteristics of a blessed person was, or a happy person, a person contented in their walk. So for the believer in Christ, what characteristics should make up their blessed countenance or character? True happiness. And if we look in Psalms 21 and Psalms 15, or Psalms 119 and Psalms 15, there's about 21 characteristics mentioned. But many of them are similar to the others. So in order not to be here all night, I've narrowed them down to about 7, which we'll quickly go through. Now, it's also important to note that we as believers have the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, as we all know, is part of the Trinity. And again, there's another point that I'm very, very strong on. I believe we need to teach on the Trinity, who Jesus Christ is, who the Holy Spirit is, and who God the Father is. And the Trinity, the Blessed Trinity, it is what sets Christianity apart from all other faiths, if we can use the word faiths, religions. I'm going to use the word religions in this world. It boils down, when you talk to cults, it'll boil down to the Trinity. That's where a lot of the dividing is, right there. The Holy Spirit, we have Him. We have the very part of the Trinity living within us, and it needs to be stressed. Every day we get up, we need to thank the Lord, God Almighty, for giving us the Holy Spirit in order to be able to face the world in front of us and to be able to live a victorious and blessed life before the Lord. Yes, it will take hard work on our part, and a willing heart, and a willing mind, and time, but the results in our lives will be heavenly and certainly give a proper meaning to living and being truly happy and contented. Number one, the blessed man or woman will be one who lives an undefiled life. Verse 1 of 119. His or her life Your life and my life should be such that even the unsaved will admit that it is not tainted with sin or even the appearance of possible wrongdoing. This person will have thus a clear conscience. We should have a clear conscience, and thus leading to true contentment and joy. Now, this is not to say, and I stress when I speak, that we're not perfect yet. We're going to have problems. We're going to fall. We're going to do something wrong, and it's the old nature in us. But the key is, when we do, it needs to be immediately confessed, and I need to be stressed, we need to immediately confess it, and we need to immediately deal with the consequences of it. We cannot afford to put something that we do wrong in our life under the carpet. Lord, forgive me, but and not deal with it, because it'll come back to cause us trouble in our testimony somewhere down the line. As we grow closer to the Lord in contentment and living lives that are victorious to the Lord, we should begin to see less and less of these confessions, because we will be closer to the Lord and thus fewer and fewer situations which lead us into sin. When we mourn for our sin, is it a deep soul-searching and repentance? When it is, then victory awaits. That's what confession is. Confession isn't just, please forgive me, Lord, and go on doing our lives. It's deep, heartfelt confession, and that shows that we are beginning to have a contented and happy character in our lives. So the believer will not seek to go to sinful places, and we know what that means, and avoid situations like the plague that can be of temptation to the soul. They will walk in God's way and not worldly ways, verses 3 and 101 and 119. It's very difficult in this world, as you well know, to be able to avoid situations that are sinful or could lead to very strong temptation. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to guide us every morning when we take our first breath, so to speak, when we wake up in the morning. And we need that so desperately in this world today. And we need to tell others, warn others of situations, especially fellow believers. The happy or blessed man or woman will also praise the Lord continuously. It says, verse 7 and 164, seven times it's mentioned. Well, seven times just isn't, as the Lord said, isn't just, it's 70 times seven. Seven is God's perfect number. It means continually. Praise needs to continually be on our lips. With a sincere heart. Almost like a habit. But in a good sense. A habit can be something that we do unconsciously without thinking. Praising the Lord cannot be that way. We just can't say, oh, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, I've seen, and you know, sometimes like that. It needs to be praise that is conscious when we say it, or there's no use saying it. Have it, let it be meaningful in our hearts. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That is a conscious awareness of praise. When we develop this good habit of praising and thinking before we open our mouth or our hearts to say praise the Lord, then it begins the process of contentment, because we are centered on the Lord. Remember, a praised person is a contented person and a blessed person. As I say, it may be hard and difficult at times, but a blessed person will realize the hand of the Lord is resting on them, even when it's raining or when the sun is shining. It's difficult. My daughter went through, as many of you know, we got a call here not long ago, but 6 weeks ago, she had been thrown off her horse and broke her back and her pelvis. We couldn't be there at the time. It was way up north of Winnipeg in a little wee village. And, you know, we just got home from church and we heard that this was happening. It takes a lot to step back for a moment and realize that the hand of the Lord's in every situation, for whatever reason he has. And we have to thank the Lord, and we have to realize that it is for our benefit and for to give him glory and honor. Number three, a blessed or happy person will also enjoy and love God's word, so much so that they do to do without it will be like going without food or water. In verses 14 and 16 and so on, just so many of them in Psalms 119. How can we enjoy the presence and peace of God if we find his word laborious and boring? How can we expect to have true contentment and fulfillment and purpose and blessedness if we treat with ho-humness the very breath of God, his word? And shame on us if we do. I've talked to people, believers, that says, well, I don't want, you know, don't bore me with all that technical stuff. Or you know, that's just way over my head. Well, it's not that we try to speak big words and all those things, but we should have, you know, Paul says we can't stay on the milk. We need to get into the meat. And the point is, too many people are gumming the Word of God. They've taken their teeth out. And we shouldn't be that way. We need to get into it. And there's so many good, but I warn people when I talk to them. I was in the Christian book business for a number of years, and there is a lot of junk out there. We have to be careful, but that's why God gave us elders. He gave us men and women who are wise, for women to ask, what are good books to read? What are good commentaries to read to get into it? And so this is what I always stress. Get into the Word of God. Get into it. Get it. Dig, dig, dig. Colossians uses the word seek, seek, seek. Like a metal detector. I was telling the guys, like a metal detector. What do you use a metal detector for? You use it to find stuff that's underground, treasures. And that's what we should use, spiritually speaking, when we look into God's word. And when we do that, we become more contented and more blessed in our life. The blessed saint will also have a life characterized by the word obedience. Obedience to God. And I have a word CASP, C-A-S-P. Clear and simple, period. In verse 112, and I'll just read that one just here. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Even unto the end. A blessed person, a blessed believer, will have their life marked by obedience to God, regardless of the cost. Another point that I make is, we do not obey God as believers to gain God's favor. Unfortunately, sometimes we have a tendency to say, well, if I obey God on these things, I'm going to be, you know, he'll be happy with me. And then I'll get his favor on me. We obey because he's bestowed on us his favor. That's why we obey. We obey out of love, not to gain his favor, but because he has given us his favor and his grace. That's what obedience really is. And once we realize that, which it begins to open so many other doors to understanding God's word. If we enjoy turmoil in our soul, hardships that could be avoided, stupid, destructive mistakes, and I've made a few of them, trust me, all we need to do is just disobey what God says. It's simple as that. It needs to be stressed time and time again. If we want to get into trouble, just disobey what God says. Number five, a blessed person will have a life characterized by a great desire to proclaim God's word or testimonies. Oh, that is so true. So true. Verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. I will not be ashamed. The desire to spread the word of God and to tell others about the Lord's mercy and grace will be evident in the person's life that is blessed. Are we excited? And I know we are here because I know this. This church is a missions church, and praise God for churches that are mission churches. People of God should love to know about missions. What's going on out there? How are people getting saved? How are people getting saved? What's going on? It should be excitement. And there's so much now with the internet that gives us access almost instantaneously is what goes on. Support missions. Whatever we do, support godly missions. Even within our, I've said this too, is that it's sometimes it's hard to witness. Let's all be honest. There are evangelists who God has blessed with the ability to just be able to go into a situation and to be able to proclaim God's word and in evangelism that many of us don't have. But he's given us a mouth, but he's also given us hands. Tracts are very good. I love Evangelical Tract Society. They have so many great tracts, easy to hand out, proclaiming God's word. Proclaim God's word. That's what it is. Telling others of the gospel. And that's what a characteristic of a blessed person is. Number six, the blessed man or woman will also hate every false way. Verse 128, the true way of the gospel is the only way. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I stress this time and time again wherever I go. There is no other way getting to heaven. In this day and age, everybody's got some other way of getting to heaven. But there is no other way. And this is what separates us and what's going to, in the world's eyes, is going to get harder and harder because of persecution. And I've read so many articles and times where men and women of God who stand up for what is right and proper biblically, they're coming under great persecution, even within our own country. But a believer who is blessed and has a blessed character will hate every false way. When you hear false teaching and when you hear false ways out there being proclaimed, we should not go, don't worry about it. We should get downright angry because it's deceiving people and it's leading people to hell. Simple as that. We should hate it within our heart and mind. That's godly, righteous anger. And God does allow that when we hate every false way. We will not tolerate or endorse it in any other way. And as I mentioned, the Colossians, in the book of Colossians, they were being deceived very deceivedly by false ways. And many of the epistles are written to address false doctrines that are sneaking in. They were sneaking into the churches that Paul had founded or were writing to. And they were perverting ever so gently. And Paul didn't tolerate that. And he wanted to address it, and we should too. Always remember, it's never compromise with what is wrong in order to do what is right. The end does not justify the means. In other words, I'm a believer that the end does not justify the means. You do not compromise God's word and truth in order to get somebody saved. I'm going to use that. God will look after those things. You just tell the truth and God's word and the truth. Don't compromise. Don't let us compromise. A blessed person does not compromise. Number seven, to end the list, though there are many more, as I say, characteristics, the blessed man or woman will be characterized by the fact that they will not backbite with their tongue or seek to do evil to their neighbor. And that's stated in Psalms 15, verse 3. Only selfish and uncontented individuals will backbite and gossip and hurt. It's so amazing how many churches have been split because of backbiting and because of gossiping. It hurts. It hurts physically, it hurts spiritually, it hurts emotionally, but it's something God does not like and is very clear about that. God hates this in Zechariah 8:17. Many times the gossiping and stinging tongue of a believer has ruined their testimony. Friendships and relationships and the image of the gospel have suffered damage by a believer who has not been walking as they should before the Lord in this area. It's something that we need to keep in check. The tongue, as James says, is a small but very dangerous part of our body, and it can get us into serious troubles. Sometimes we hear people say, I hope nobody says it here, but I mean, they'll say, I'm going to give that person a piece of my mind. You don't want to give too much of the piece of your mind or someday you won't have any left. We need to realize that what we say and do, before those around us has a major impact on how they see the gospel, and especially how we interact with other believers. It's difficult, it's hard, but remember, we have the Holy Spirit guiding us. And when we can master those things with the help of the Holy Spirit, it gives us a contentment in our spirit that others will see and realize there's something special about what that person is or who that person stands for. And that can only lead to good things for the gospel and the proclaiming of the gospel in this world. So, to us as believers, the question that we need to ask each day is, how is our character measuring up to that of the blessed man, the man of Psalms 15? And I'm just going to read it again because I think it's a very, very interesting and very powerful psalm. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacles? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. This is the characteristics of a blessed person. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And there's so much more in, especially Psalms 119, that deals with this, how we should walk before the Lord and how we can have a contented and focused spirit and character. Oh, Lord, may you help us to stay ever close to you. Help us each and every day when we get up and we take our first step, let it be a step in the direction you would want us to go. Please guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to live each day as a victorious day for you. Help us to be contented and to grow contented more and more and have a spirit that cries out to you in praise and adoration always. Oh, Lord, we just thank you. We commit this night to your hands. We thank you for each one here. And again, we just pray again for the ministries that are going on, especially the camp ministries, Lord. I know it's close to Ruth and my heart and others. And Lord, we just pray there's so much can go on in camps, both physically and spiritually, and so many attacks and situations. Just pray that you will cover each one with your precious blood and that you will guide and direct and that there will be great victories for Jesus this summer in camps throughout this great country. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen. Thank you very much.